The following reading is brought to you by the Illinois Radio Reader. Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, April 3rd, 2025. We will begin today's reading with the front page article headlined, Voters Adopt School Sales Tax, Levy to Start July 1st in McLean County. By D. Jack Alkier. Bloomington. Starting this summer, McLean County customers will see a new 1% sales tax on their receipts after voters passed a measure to add a tax to benefit the county's schools. According to unofficial results from Tuesday's election, the proposed 1% county school facility occupation tax has passed with 17,415 votes for and 15,427 votes against the measure. It adds a tax of 1 cent per dollar spent on certain items sold in McLean County, including prepared food, gasoline, retail, and online purchases. Items exempt from the tax include groceries, medications, services like haircuts, and farm equipment. The tax will take effect countywide beginning July 1st, and schools can expect to start seeing revenue as soon as October or November, said Kristen Weichel, superintendent of McLean County Unit 5. It's a game changer for our schools, as it is a countywide effort, Weichel said Tuesday night. Bloomington District 87 Superintendent David Mauser said he was excited to see the measure pass. I'm thrilled. I think our county has shown its commitment to public schools, and we, as school districts, are going to show our commitment to our county, Mauser said Tuesday night. Revenue from the sales tax will allow every district to do building and facility work, safety and security upgrades, and improve mental health services for students, while providing some relief to property owners, Weichel said. Barry Riley, retired superintendent for District 87, who served as chair of the ballot initiative committee Vote Yes for McLean County Schools, said he was excited to see the measure pass as well. He has grandchildren in public schools and getting ready to start school, he said. They're going to benefit from that, so I'm excited, Riley said Wednesday morning. When it comes to mental health and safety and security and what schools will be able to do in the maintenance and upkeep of their buildings is great, he said. Unit 5 and District 87 school boards have passed resolutions that would abate or offset property tax revenue by one-third of the income from this sales tax. Should this pass, we would abate or offset at least one-third every year for at least the next 5 years. And I say at least because I think it's many of our intentions to be able to continue that longer, Weichel said in an election forum last month. The district would also use a third of the revenue from the sales tax to pay the salaries of mental health and security staff, something it is currently doing with property tax revenue, Weichel said. In Unit 5, for a $250,000 home, that's an annual savings of $261. That same homeowner would have to spend over $26,000 in goods that qualified to be taxed to offset that, she said. The Leroy Board of Education also voted to abate a third of the revenue for property owners, said Superintendent Jeff Bauman. We have an opportunity to give back to our taxpayers. Taking care of our property owners as well as having access to improve some things is a big win, he said Wednesday morning. The school district will first focus on paying down existing bonds, making roofing and window upgrades, as well as abating one-third of revenue to property owners, Bauman said. The Pantograph previously reported Unit 5 estimates an annual revenue of around $16 million, while District 87 expects closer to $6 million. An estimated 35% of sales in McLean County are from people who do not live in McLean County, Mauser said. This includes college students whose home of record is outside the county. Leading up to Tuesday's election, Weichel and Mauser traveled the county to speak at various events, informing the public about the tax and answering questions. But Mauser also credited the superintendents of the rural school districts with getting the information out. I know they've all worked really hard to provide factual information to their voters as well, he said. Regardless of how voters felt, Weichel thanked everyone who exercised their rights on Election Day and acknowledged there are often difficult decisions made at the ballot box. Of the 101 counties outside Cook County, 57 counties in Illinois have employed the county school facility occupation tax, which means McLean County will become one of more than half of the state's counties that help fund school districts with sales tax. The Olympia School District, for example, already benefits from the county school facility occupation tax from some of the other counties the district serves, said Superintendent Laura O'Donnell. The proposed tax first appeared on the ballot in 2014, but McLean County voters rejected it at the time. Since then, revised legislation has allowed revenue from the tax to fund security upgrades and mental health facilities, in addition to facilities projects. But it is also the messaging that helped push the measure across the line, Riley said. They've been more transparent and more pointed in where the money goes. Back in 2014, we didn't have that consistently, he said. Because of those changes, Mauser and Weichel said they felt it was time to bring it back to the voters. Ultimately, tonight, kids and families win, Mauser said Tuesday. The next front page story is headlined, Bloomington Mayor to be Dan Brady, by Drew Zimmerman. Bloomington. Former Illinois House Representative Dan Brady is expected to serve in the city of Bloomington's highest public office for the next 4 years, filling the role that has been held by an incumbent who spent 10 years on the city council before stepping up to the mayor's office. According to unofficial results from Tuesday's consolidated election, Brady came out ahead in the three-way race for mayor of Bloomington, facing Mayor Mboka Mulambwe and Ward 6 Alderman Cody Hendricks. Brady received 7,936 votes compared to Hendricks's 5,525, and Mulambwe's 3,106, according to unofficial results. About 31% of registered voters in Bloomington participated in this election. Brady said he was honored that the community chose a candidate who they believe can work in a nonpartisan capacity and bring people together. I've had the opportunity to be able to reach and work with people from the political spectrum that we may agree and with those that we don't agree, Brady said. But I'm an individual who's been able to put politics aside and try and find common grounds. He added that he is excited about the work that will commence in downtown Bloomington as part of the streetscape plan. However, he said he hoped the city could make a greater investment into the infrastructure projects tied to the first phases of the plan. But when it comes to working with the city's federal delegates to secure funding, it will be important for Bloomington to have the biggest cheerleader it can, he said. I hope the people who maybe thought Dan Brady wasn't the answer have given me an opportunity to work with people and show people what I can do and how I can bring people together, he said. Brady previously highlighted leadership experience and contacts he made throughout his 20 years in the Illinois legislature as the traits that made him stand out as a candidate. When it comes to housing, Brady said he would like the Economic Development Department to work on a comprehensive package identifying opportunities for housing on vacant properties that could be redeveloped. In a news release sent after the election results came in, Brady said Bloomington is home to incredible families and neighborhoods, thriving small businesses, and some of the world's most important employers. Our agriculture and manufacturing sectors are helping lead America into the future and powered by the hardest working people you'll find anywhere, Brady said in the release. Hendricks said Tuesday night that it was a hard-fought campaign and he knew he was the underdog against an incumbent and a long-term politician. But he also knew the issues he fought for and the reasons he ran were good and just. I've been blessed with really good volunteers and an amazing campaign team and really a swell of the community I had hoped for. But you never know when you enter a race, Hendricks said, and I'm really blessed to have all of them behind it. Hendricks said he sees himself as a professional, and the work of the city council will continue, regardless of who the mayor will be. Now that the election is over, Hendricks said his hope is to take the politics out of future decision-making and do what's best for Bloomington. Hendricks will continue to serve as alderman for Ward 6 with the hope that he can influence votes on the city budget and other key issues. We just need to continue to do the work, which is the whole point that I hope the public servants are doing when they enter into a political office, Hendricks said. Willambwe, who has served as mayor for the past 4 years, could not immediately be reached for comment. However, he said in a new release earlier this week that serving as Bloomington's mayor has been one of the greatest honors of his life, and he wants to continue to give back to strong, vibrant, and diverse community of Bloomington. And here's another election story headlined, Coos looking to continue to advocate for people projects, by Matus Janik. Normal. With federal funding concerns on the rise, Normal Mayor Chris Coos said he is looking forward to continuing his work towards securing tax dollars for the town, but it won't be easy. I think we're in a scenario where it's going to be hard, and I've seen that in my recent trips to Washington, and we may have to do some things without the benefit of federal dollars, Coos said. At the end of the day, we're trying to bring tax dollars back from Washington and Springfield to benefit our people. After a competitive race, Coos reclaimed his seat as mayor Tuesday night, holding a 470-vote lead over challenger and Normal council member Kathleen Lawrence. According to unofficial results, Coos led with 3,914 votes, or 45.85% of votes cast, ahead of Lawrence, who trailed with 3,444 votes, or 40.34% cast, and council member Chamberlain Harris, who finished with 1,179 votes, or 13.81% cast. Coos, 76, who has been mayor since 2003, said campaigns can get competitive, but at the end of the day, when the council reconvenes Monday for its regularly scheduled meeting, they will all gel back together in a collegial environment. Normal is such a great community to live in, said Coos, owner of Vitesse Cycle Shop and off and running in Normal. It's not a one-person show. It takes a village. Coos, who also has been a member of the Amtrak Board of Directors since 2024, said it's going to be harder as the federal government and the current Trump administration continues to pull back on funding and grant support for certain infrastructure projects, like the anticipated pedestrian underpass at Uptown Station. The $27.1 million project will connect north and southbound passenger platforms in order to provide safe passage for pedestrians, Amtrak riders, and Constitution Trail users beneath the Union Pacific Railroad tracks. Located near the Mark R. Peterson Plaza between Uptown Station and the Children's Discovery Museum, the scope of the project will need to be modified to bring down the cost while aiming to keep the concept of the project intact, Kuss said. We're working on seeing if we can pare it back a little bit without destroying the concept of the project, Kuss said. We're still planning to get it across the finish line. We'll get it there. Lawrence said she would be lying if she did not say she was disappointed with the results at the end of the night. But she still believes in the voices of her supporters who said it is time for fresh leadership. As she continues to serve on the town council, Lauren said she will focus advocating for those supporters and other residents. I want to keep being a voice for the things that I was advocating for, like trying to find tax relief for our residents where we can, solving the housing issue, and bringing accountability on the Mental Health Action Plan funding, Lauren said. Harris, who left her council seat open when she decided to run for mayor, said she and her team did what they could do and put up a good fight. Thankful for her supporters, Harris said it has been a pleasure to serve on the council and be an ambassador for the community to fight for this community. Unfortunately, we don't have the same vision for it, and that's fine, she said. I'll continue to do the work that was placed in me to put human back in humanity and to show love to others. Kuss, Lawrence, and other council members said they admired and were thankful for Harris's commitment to the community, and they look forward to what she does in the future. As for the normal town council, the races showed incumbent Kevin McCarthy taking the lead with 5,409 votes, 36.38%. Incumbent Scott Preston received 4,982 votes, or 33.51%, and newcomer Rory Roberge receiving 4,478 votes, or 30.12%. Although the race was uncontested, McCarthy said he still walked around the community and heard from residents about their concerns. He said he is focused on getting back to council to move normal forward, despite the challenges that present themselves at the federal level. It's always been an honor for me to get to serve, and now to get to serve another term. I'm still ready to keep working on behalf of all residents in Normal, said McCarthy, who has been on council since 2012 and currently serves as mayor pro tem. With the administration pulling back funding, that's going to be a new challenge for the council and how we go about doing infrastructure projects when it seems like there might be less of our tax dollars coming back. With the uncertainty that is going on, I'm glad that we have somebody like the mayor who has strong connections with our delegation in Washington, D.C., and can make those calls and meet with our elected officials, he added. Preston, who has been on council since 2013, also said he is excited to get back to the council and looks forward to working with Roberge for the next 4 years. Each of us do what we can to vote in the best interest of the people that we're there to serve, so I'm glad to continue to be part of that, Preston said. And after every election, we're reminded that one way or another, it's the voice of the people who speak. Roberge, who is a former member of the McLean County Regional Planning Commission, said he knew this moment was coming since the fall, but it's now becoming real, and he is looking to actually getting started. Roberge said he likes the emphasis the town has put on local infrastructure, particularly roads, and he wants to continue that same momentum with Mental Health Action Plan funding. He and other council members said they want to see those funds go towards personal services and help unhoused residents find support. In most cases, people are victims of circumstances, but there is a strong correlation between mental health issues and homelessness, and addressing that may help people get a leg up to eventually get into a permanent dwelling, Roberge said. Roberge said he also had the opportunity to get to know Harris over the election cycle and has a great deal of respect for her. He said he believes his goals align closely with hers. He said he hopes to bring new perspective as someone who has not been on the council yet. I hope that I'm humble coming into this role because I have a lot to learn, Roberge said. I'm trying to hit the ground running as best I can because ultimately why I ran in the first place was to serve the community. Kathy Olofsson, Communication Director for Normal, said council members will be sworn in at the town council's May 5th meeting. And here's some more election news headlined, Incumbents Bergner Win Seats on Board, by Matus Janik. Normal. Two incumbents and one challenger have won the race for the Heartland Community College Board of Trustees. With all precincts reporting Tuesday night, incumbent Janet Hood led with 10,754 votes, or 28.44% of total votes, while newcomer Lori Bergner received 10,278 votes, or 27.18% of total votes, according to unofficial results. By a margin just over 200 votes, incumbent Thomas Witt retained his seat with 8,488 votes, or 22.45% of total votes, over former McLean County Board member David Seltzer, who received 8,284 votes, or 21.91% of total votes. Three seats were up for election this year, each for six-year terms. Heartland is in a good place, and we have strong leadership and also excellent strategic capital and funding plans to move forward to do the work we do for the students of our district, said Hood, current vice chair of the board, who has served since 2017. I'm very pleased to be able to continue that work. Hood said she has known Bergner over the years and looks forward to working with her on the board, as well as continuing to work with Witt and other board members. Wood said she is also excited to prepare the college's strategic plan through the various town hall meetings that have been hosted throughout March, with the final one scheduled for 5 p.m. April 10th at Heartland's Pontiac campus, 211 East Madison Street, Suite 2. I would encourage people, if they have not been to one of the scheduled town halls throughout our district, to go out and make their voices heard so that we have that input as we look to the future, Hood said. Witt was first elected to the board in 2019 and is a CT technologist with OSF Healthcare St. Joseph Medical Center in Bloomington. He could not be reached for comment as of 12:30 p.m. Wednesday. Bergner, a clinical psychologist and director of community education for the League of Women Voters of McLean County, won the seat previously filled by Jeff Flessner. Bergner said being on the board will be different than what she has done in the past, but ultimately she is ready to work with other members in continuing to create competence-based education and career opportunities for students throughout the district. Really, just keeping up with what is the most effective and efficient and affordable way to teach and keep people learning and getting those skills that allow them to get good careers, Bergner said. It's a wonderful organization and board, and I'm excited to be part of supporting it and helping it move into the future. Flessner served on the board since 2013 and resigned on December 1, 2024. Pontiac Township High School District Superintendent John Kilgore was selected to hold Flessner's seat until the seat was filled during this election. He did not appear on the ballot in this race. Seltzer, who retired from a career at AT&T and in nonprofits, including time at St. Jude, the Illinois Heart and Lung Foundation, and Phelps Health, also had an unsuccessful run for the Heartland Board of Trustees in 2023. On Wednesday, Seltzer said he was pleased with his performance in Logan County, as well as Tazewell, Livingston, and DeWitt counties, where he took 24.8%, 25.5%, 24%, and 27.5% of the vote, respectively. In McLean County, Seltzer received 21% of the vote. He said he is not complaining about the results and hopes to see others take part in elections in the future. I think it's so important for all of us to get engaged in our community, and whether you win or lose, it's still a win for the community because it brought people out to the polls and made them investigate and find out about things they might not have known, Seltzer said. It's a win for the people who have spoken, and I have no problem with the outcome. Steve Fast, assistant to the president at Heartland Community College and public information and communication director for the college, said in an email Wednesday, the trustees will be seated at the next board meeting on April 22nd. The meeting is set for the fourth week of the month instead of the regularly scheduled third week to allow for the vote ratification process, Fast said. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for April 3rd. Please stay tuned.